Okay, sounds like we got a little bit of an echo. So I'm going to lower my volume a little bit, but if you have a question, someone on Zoom, you can just wave around or raise your hand or something. Oh, okay, everyone's muted, so now the echo is going to go away. Okay, but feel free to unmute yourself and make a comment or ask any questions if that comes up. Okay, so good morning, everyone. We're going to continue today with what we were starting with last week. I want to start this source sheet. We're going to start back from the beginning from last week, just to catch everyone up to speed. The question again is, we've been talking about the border, and Reuven puts something on his side of the property. And so there's a whole question, when Reuven puts his thing on his side of the property, does he have to distance at all from Shimon, from his neighbor? And we see, yes, that was the first Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us all the different things you have to do. You have to distance in various different ways, different amounts from all sorts of different things. And Tosfot, so that's Tosfot and source number. So I'm sorry, let's take a step back. If there's nothing there, if my neighbor doesn't have anything there yet, do I have to distance or not? The Mishnah makes it seem like I only have to distance when there's something there. But if my neighbor doesn't have anything, can I put my thing right up at the border? So that's the Gemara source number one, says it's actually a machloket. Abai smoch betzad ha-meitzar, source number one, Abai omer somech, Rav omer eno somech. Abai says you can go ahead, put it at the border, right on the line, not a problem. And Abai says, I'm sorry, and Rav says eno somech, you cannot put something right on the border. The guys might put something there, and so you can't put something there. And that's something that Rabbi Tortiner had spoken about more extensively last week. So the question, source number two, the question that Tosfot had asked, so he points out in source number two, Tashma, Marchinat Agefet, Bedezevel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Tama Dika Kotel. I'm sorry, this is the Gemara still. Tama Dika Kotel, Haleka Kotel, Somech, if there's no wall there, so the Gemara tries to bring a proof. There's a case of the Gefet. The Gefet is, I put a Gefet down. So this statement, Tashma Marchigin to the Gemma Bedezel, Bedamel, Fetasiv, Slaimi Kotel, Shachavar, Gimel Tvachim, Masad Besid, Tama Dika Kotel, Haleka Kotel, Somech, it looks like from this Brighta, the only time I have to distance my gefet is when the other person already has a kotel. Haleka kotel somech. But if there's no kotel there, I can go ahead and put my gefet right on the border. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no, haleka kotel nami lo samech. No, actually, if there is something, even if there's no wall, you still can't put your gefet on the borderline. Why? So it's because you have the distance. V'hela my kamash malan, ha kamash malan, dahani kashu la kotel. So then if you half the distance, whether there's a wall there or not. So then why does this Mishnah say anything about a kotel? Tells you, Gefet, Zevel, Melech, Seed, Slaim, all of these are kashu lakotel. They're damaging to a kotel. So that's why they're singled out here. But even if they're not there, even if the wall is not there, you still cannot put your gefet on the border. That's what the Gemara has learned out. This seems to be in favor of it's saying you can be, you cannot be somech, even if there's no wall. So Tosfot says, so the tema, this is source number three, towards the end of that first line, tema, my kushya hacha, vadim utali smoch b'shein kotel, she'ein mazik klum, k'shiach pot zela, so kotel is here to gefet. Tosfot says, the question is, I don't understand. If there's no wall there, let him put down the gefet right now, and when the guy puts up his wall, he'll move the gefet. Why can Shimon prevent Reuven from putting his gefet down right now when there's nothing happening right now? Okay, when Shimon wants to build his wall, Reuven will have to move the gefet. Okay, when that happens, that'll happen. But right now, there's no reason to do anything. Why can Shimon prevent Reuven from putting down his gefet on the border when it's something movable? A boar, you could say, okay, it's going to be, how do you move a pit? You have to fill it in. But gefet, you just have... just have these olive skins, pits, whatever, just sitting there. So you just move them. Take a shovel and move them. How 10, 20 minutes maybe? You want to say it takes 2 days? It's very movable. So the question is, why can't you just put the gefet down right now and move it in the future? That's Tosfot's question. Everyone good with that question? Okay, so Tosfot gives two answers. Yes, Shlomar, Dahani Nami Mukakwina Takarka. So the first answer he gives us says, no, when you put the gefet down now, it's going to cause damage right now. So even if you say, if and when Reuven builds his wall, I'll just move the gefet, the damage has already been done. The karka is already ruined. That's the first answer. That's why Shimon can prevent Reuven from putting his gefet in right now, even though there's no wall. Alternatively, the issue is, Re says, why can I prevent it right now? Because if and when I build my wall, you might be lazy. You might not get around to it. You're not going to do it quickly. And since this is so damaging to my wall, I won't be able to put my wall. I have a right to put my wall here. And you're telling me you're going to move the gefet, but it's been days, it's been weeks, it's been months. You haven't moved the gefet. So the Re says, that's why at the outset, I can say, you can't put your coat. I can keep you from putting your gefet here because if and when, you might be lazy. Lo yimeher l'sal kol k'shirtzer l'asod kotel. So that's Tosfot source number three. Okay, so the Rosh is going to say similarly. So he's Tashma, source number four. Tashma marchikin et gevet vet amelach v'chulei. Tama dika kotel. Aleka kotel somach. Okay. So v'tema, my parichacha, what's the question here? Vadai mutar lismoch she'ein sham kotel. She'ein mazik lo klum ata. They get the same question. Why can't you put it down right now? There's no damage happening right now. Okay, and when I want to, when you tell me you're going to, when Reuven says he's going to put down, or Shimon, I don't remember what we said is who, when the guy putting the wall down decides to put the wall down, so the guy with the gefet will just move the gefet, just move it, okay. So, the first answer that we had in Tosfot, Rosh is quoting here too, you're causing damage to the land, and since you're causing damage to the land right now, I can prevent it because you can say you're going to move your gefet, but the damage has already been done. You've already hurt my land. And so I can't build my land. I can't build my wall here. Inami, alternatively, yesh torach basilukam. It's going to take a lot of work for you to move the gefet. But yesh lechu shema yitatzel milisalkam kshivne hakotel. And so there's a concern that maybe you're going to be lazy, you're going to be slow in removing it. And so those are the two answers that Tosfot had given. Rosh is giving the same two answers. Either the concern is damage is happening right now, or if we wait till then, you might be a lazy bum and you won't get it taken care of. So I can prevent you right now, because otherwise it might take forever for you to actually move the gefet. Those are the Tosfot's two answers. Rosh has quoted both of those answers as well. Be'arav Rabbeinu Yonah. So now I'm three and a half lines down in the Rosh, source number four. Be'arav Rabbeinu Yonah Zal Tiritz Dechayesh Shem Yachzik B'smicha Dvarim Halalu Shaloshanim. V'it'on chazaka. Rabbeinu Yonah says, the issue is not about being lazy. The issue is not about damage already is done. The issue is, if you can put your gefet here right now, you could end up with a chazaka. You could have, if you're here for 3 years, you could have a chazaka, and then I will never be able to put my wall up because you will have a chazaka and claim that it's yours. You have the rights to it. I never said anything for 3 years. You can keep this. This is yours. I can't force you to do anything. And that's the same reason that you can't juxtapose your pit to someone else's pit. Same issue. That you're going to say, it's been here for 3 years. Nothing, you didn't say anything. That means that I have a chazaka. It's allowed to be here. So you can't tell me to not move my pit. Where were you the last 3 years? It's clearly you gave me permission to do this. Even though you're claiming now, I'm not okay with it. It's been here for 3 years. You were mochel. You were okay with me taking it. So I'm going to leave my pit here. That's the concern. And so because of that concern, Rabbeinu Yonah says, at the outset, the neighbor can say, I don't want you to put your gefet here. Because if you put your gefet here, even though there's nothing happening right now, you could end up with a chazaka, and then I will never be able to get you to move your gefet, so I can prevent you right now, because if I don't prevent you right now, I may never be able to prevent you. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah here is presenting. We can skip to the down half a line. Mitoch ze, dikdek, mitoch ze dikdek, de'ein adam rashai liftoch halon l'chur batos shachavero. And according to this logic, Rabbeinu Yonah has ruled that if I've got a chorba, I've got a ruin here that's not being used, or someone's got their ruin and I want to open a window into that area, ein adam rashai liftoch chalom lechorbato shel chaver, lefi sheyachol lomar lo, shem etachzik alai, shem lach livnot chorbati. נמצא חלונך פתוחה לחצירי ותחזיק בהזק ריה, וגם תזקיקני להרחיק ארבע עמו כנגד חלונך. I can say, you want to open your window into my churba. I can prevent you from opening that window. Why? Because if I don't prevent you and you build your window, 3 years, that window is there. The churba is not livable right now. But after 3 years, I decide to build up that churba. I decide to not live in it. And now I want privacy. So I come to you to Beit Din and I say, I'd like you to remove this window. I've got nothing on him. The Baal HaChalon, the guy who has the window, gets to keep the window. 3 years, chazaka. Presumably I was mochal. And that's it. And so Rabbeinu Yonah says, because there's a risk of chazaka, you can prevent that thing from happening at the outset in order to prevent a potential chazaka from happening. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, and he gives us, the Rush is giving us another example of that here with this window piece. And the Rush doesn't like that. It says, Ve'ein v'rav nearingly, dim ita dimitar li smuch gefet, she'ein sham kota libor samach lemetzer, lo yuchal liton chazaka le'olam, kevan de'ein mazik lo ata. The Rush says, I don't agree with Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't agree with Rabbeinu Yonah because that's not how chazaka works. You can only get a chazaka, the Rush says, if I could have been moche and I wasn't moche. If I could be moche, I didn't say anything for 3 years. After 3 years, clearly I was mochel, I was okay with what you did, and you can keep it. The Rush says, that's only the case if I could have said something and I didn't. But here, Kevan De'ein Mazik Lo Ata, since no damage is happening right now at this moment, I have no ability to be mocha, I have no ability to protest, and therefore my lack of protestation does not automatically grant you a chazaka. So the Rush says, Rabbeinu Yonah is just totally wrong about the mechanics of chazaka. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to assume you have a chazaka, unless I'm mocha, and the Rush is saying that's not how it works. You only get a chazaka if I could be mocha, but didn't. I can't be mocha here, so you don't get a chazaka. Hilkach, therefore, in the beginning of that next paragraph, the Rosh says, Hilkach, im nimtza chalon patuach l'chorba, ein lo chazaka. That case that Rabbeinu Yonah had said, I can prevent you from opening your window onto my chorba because otherwise you get a chazaka. The Rosh says, no, he would never have a chazaka. Unless, of course, he brought witnesses that said that the window was here when this was not a churba, when this was a real house. Okay, so if you actually could bring Aidim that I was that this window was here, okay. But if Stam, if you just opened the window into the churba, no chazaka there. And if you get in a situation, you have a private house, and you have a window looking into their private house, and they were totally fine with it, then the thing falls down. The Rush says, you want to be able to keep your window here? Get Edim that this window was up beforehand and that you had a chazaka here already, because if all we look at is window open into a churba, you will never get that chazaka, and you should have rights to this window because it predated the destruction. He was, in fact, mochel, but because we're going to be looking at this period of time where there was just a churba and you had no rights, he had no rights to be mocha against you, you can't get the chazaka. So the Rosh is giving you like an Eitza Tova, good advice. And that's what the continuation of this Rush sort of gives, the various scenarios. And all of them are scenarios that he's saying the same thing. The only time Reuven has a chazaka is if Shimon could be mocha, but chose not to be mocha. If he could not be mocha because no damage was being done at the time, he cannot be mocha. And so therefore, there is no chazaka. That's the way the Rush understands it. Okay, so everyone's good with this, the Rush versus Rabbeinu Yonah. So, and this is still a review from what we talked about last week. So, more review from what we talked about last week, source number 5. I thought that maybe this machloket, Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah, has some connection to a machloket, a discussion about something that happens in the first parak of Baba Batra. And the first parak of Baba Batra, source number 5, Ashutfim Shiratzu Lasod Mechitza Bechatzer, Bonil Takota Be'emza, Makom Shinagu Lifnot, Kavil, Gazir, Kfisin, Levinim, Bonin, Kakok, Minaga Medina. If we, you and I share a yard and we split the yard, so then a wall goes up and the wall has to be built, Kaminaga Medina. Why does it have to be built, Kaminaga Medina? So there's the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah both weigh in on that question. The Rosh, source number 6, why can I force you to build the wall to Kaminaga Medina? The end of the first line of the Rosh on source number 6, page 1. Davka k'shemamidin hakotel al karka shel shneihem. I can force you to build Minag HaMedina when the wall goes on shared property. It's going to be shared. No one wants to put the wall on their own property and pay for all of it. I want to get my money's worth. Why can I say you have to build the wall of Minag HaMedina? Because if I'm going to pay, I want to get my money's worth. But that means, Im ratza achad lichnos betoch shelo, but if my neighbor says, I'll just build the whole thing on my side of the property out of weak, flimsy fence, palm fronds and tree branches, even though that's much worse than Minhag HaMedina, according to the Rosh, it's totally fine. It's totally fine because Shemesalik Hezekriya, Mechaber Otayo. So page number two, as long as you're avoiding Hezekriya, it's fine. The whole reason for Minhag HaMedina is because I want to get my money's worth. If I'm not paying any money, it's totally fine. You want to build it out of flimsy materials on your property and avoid Hezekriya, it's fine. The Yesh Mefarshim, the Rush says, there are those that say, Shafilu Im Rotze, this is the third line on the top of page three, third line down, V'yesh Mefarshim, page two, sorry. Source number six, page two, V'yesh Mefarshim, Shafilu Im Rotze Lichnos Toch Shalo, Ligdor Behotze V'dafna, Chaveru Me'akev Alav. There are those opinions that say, even if I put it in my own property, I still, my neighbor can prevent me from building it on my own property with my own money out of flimsy materials. Why? Levisha Merlo, Eina Machitza Shal Kayama, Vetstrech, Litokalecha Tamid, Shetipala Machitza, Lesflek Me'alai Hezek Riyatcha. Why can I prevent you from building? You're taking all the expenses. So according to this position, the reason I can force you to build Minhag HaMedina is because I don't want to have to schlep you to Beit Din every time this wall falls. You build it out of flimsy material, it's going to fall. Then I'm going to have to take it to Beit Din. We're going to have to go through the whole thing again. It doesn't matter who spent the money. It doesn't matter where this is. If I'm going to have to take you to Beit Din in the future over this, I can protest right now. That's what the Rush gives, two options. And it's the Rush says, though, the Rush says, I don't like this second answer. This second answer, that the whole reason we made HaMedina is because I don't want to have to take you to Beit Din, I don't agree with that. We don't have any, the rabbis never said that there's a specific degree that the protection needs to reach. She has said that you have to create some protection that's going to prevent ever having this issue come up again. They don't say that. Ela must speak, Masha Mesalek Hezeko Mimenu Lefisha'a. All the rabbis need, make sure there's no damage happening right now. And if there's no damage happening right now, that's fine. V'machar zman yizikenu, yesh shoftim ba'aretz. And worst case scenario, you take him to Beit Din. Not a big deal. You'll take him to Beit Din. The only time, you have to make sure that you're clearing up what's happening right now. That's the Rush. Source number seven, Rabbeinu Yonah, says similarly. He gives the first opinion, source number seven, in that first paragraph of source number seven, he says, That's the first answer of the Rush, right? If you decide you want to take all the expenses on yourself, put it entirely on your yard and your half, I can't force you to do anything. The reason I can force you to commit Minhag HaMedina is because I want to get my money's worth. If I'm not paying any money, it's totally fine. But then he goes another opinion. V'yesh mefarshim, she'afilu imichnos l'toch shelo, tzrich livnot avanim olivanim, she'achol chavero lomar lo, im ata oseh mechitza behotze v'dafne, tzrich l'tzok alecha beveitin, kol zman she'inofel, v'ika chayav livno mechitza amit kayemet. Rabbeinu Yonah here is giving the other option. He's saying, oh, maybe I can force you to prevent it. I can force you to build Minhag HaMedina because I don't have to schlep you to Beit Din. Yeah, Idan. What? Okay. So what's interesting here, in this case, and I'm gonna assume, but you could disagree, but I'm understanding Rabbeinu Yonah as agreeing with the first opinion, that Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush would agree that if you pull it into your own reshut, I can't force you to do anything because you're taking care of what's here, right here and right now. And what's going to happen in the future? It'll happen in the future. If it happens in the future, yes, shoftim ba'aretz, we'll deal with it then. So what I laid out for you in this table below source number 8, and source and this the table on source below source number 8, according to the Rush, what's the reason that I can't put the gefet here right now? So he gives two options. Either mekalkalina takarka, or shemitzel milasalakam sheivne akotel. If it's mekalkin nami et takarka, I don't care about the future. The reason it's a problem is because you're causing damage right now. And that's why I can prevent you from putting the gefet right here. Answer number two. Shemi titzel mizalakam kshivne akotel. Kenechpat lanu mashiv obeatin. I do care what's going to happen in the future. In the future, you're going to be lazy. In the future, you're not going to do this. So I'm going to take you to Beitin right now. Because I don't want to deal with this in the future. What happens in the future is relevant to me. In Perek Aleph, what the Rush is saying, in this case we're dealing with right now, Maspik Mashim, as I underlined it in this, this is the right-hand column in that table, according to the Rush, Maspik Mashim Aslek Hezekomi Menu Lefi Sha'av, Ima Achar Zman Yezikenu Yeshofti Ba'aretz. Again, Loach Pat Lanu Mashia Yavo Batid, Habaya Hishal Achshav. The concern is what's happening right now. For Rabbeinu Yonah, though, he's consistent. Shema Yachzik B'Masechet B'Smicha Dvarim Halalu Shalosh Shanim, in Perek Bet, I can't wait. That's probably with a chaf, not a kuf. There's a typo there. I can't wait till the future. I have to take care of it right now. So that's why he gives source. That's why he says, I don't care about what's going to happen in the future, but if I don't act right now, there won't be any future. And that's consistent with what he says in Perek Aleph. Again, that position is lo achba lanu mashiav yom mashiav be'atid abayashil ahishal achshav. It's got to be for Rabbeinu Yonah. He's consistent. In both cases, he's saying, "I'm concerned about what's going to happen." I'm sorry, I'm not concerned about what's going to happen in the future. The only reason that in Perek Bet he's saying I'm concerned is because there might not be a future. Because if I don't act, because if I wait to the future, you're going to have a chazaka and it's done for. But Bederach Klal, he does say, I don't care about what happens in the future. So I just have a piece here. Why doesn't he say, like the first answer of Tosfot, of the Rush of Tosfot, the Hakin of Nami at the Karka? So that's source number 8. Rabbeinu Yonah believes you're not causing damage right now. There is no damage that happens right now because when you build your wall, you're going to turn over the Karka. You're gonna shovel out the ground. You're going to have new, you're going to make the foundation of your building. So there is no damage happening right now. So Rabbeinu Yonah can't say, their problem is happening right now. Because it's not happening right now. Because that's source number 8. He says, Shabunir Takota, Chofrin Li Yisod, Shabunir Takota, you're going to dig up the ground. So Rabbeinu Yonah to say, it's a concern right now. He can't say that because he doesn't think that's the Mitzias. So he goes to what his concern is. I'm not concerned about what's going to happen in the future. He's never concerned about what's going to happen in the future. The only reason that I can be Mocha right now, it's not right now because there is nothing happening right now. Because it's not going to be a problem because the dirt is going to be gone by the time you build your wall. So it's not going to be a problem. And I'm not concerned about what's going to happen if and when. I'm never concerned about what's going to happen if and when. Except for the fact that you'll have a chazakah then. Since you're going to have a chazakah then, I can act right now because ordinarily I'd say we'll just wait. If the wall falls, the wall will fall and we'll deal with it then. The problem is if we wait too long, you'll have a chazakah and I can't do anything. And so that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says you got to act right now. Ordinarily we'd say you don't have to wait. I'm sorry, we don't care about what happens if and when. We don't care about what happens if and when, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. The problem is if I wait till if and when, I will already have lost. So that's why I can act right now. That's Rabbeinu Yonah being consistent. But the Rush, I thought was interesting that the Rush, on the one hand, in the second answer of the Rush, he's clearly saying, I don't care what's going to happen in the future. If the wall falls down in the future, I'm sorry, if you decide to build a wall in the future, I don't want to have to take you to Beit Din. So I can prevent you from doing it right now because we do care about what's going to happen in the future. Because I don't want to have to deal with taking you to Beit Din if you want to build the wall. But when it comes to building Kamin Haga Medina, the Rush is saying, Loach Palat, he's saying, Yes, Shoftim Ba'aretz. So why is it that when it comes to if the wall falls down, the Rush says, wall falls down, you just deal with it. If and when, Yes, Shoftim Ba'aretz, you'll take it to Beit Din, not a big deal. But for when it comes to the Gefet situation, the Rush is saying, oh, it's oy vey, if I have to take him to Beit Din, it's going to be all thing. The Rush, at least at first glance to me, felt inconsistent. But on the one hand, when it comes to the wall falling down, the Rush is saying, when the wall falls down, if and when the wall falls down, you'll deal with it then. Because yes, Shoftim Ba'aretz, you'll take him to Beit Din. Not a big deal to take him to Beit Din. But when it comes to the Gefed situation, the Rush is saying, oh, maybe he'll be lazy, he won't move it. So why doesn't the Rush say, yes, Shoftim Ba'aretz over there? He doesn't want to do it, so you take him to Beit Din. The first case, he says, in the first parak, he says, you'll take him to Beit Din, not a big deal. But when it comes to the Gefed case, the Rush is saying, it's a pain to take him to Beit Din. So Rav Yehuda and I were discussing this a little bit. So Rav Yehuda's answer is, I think there are two possible answers. Rav Yehuda's suggestion was that it's not necessarily going to happen that the wall is going to fall. It might not necessarily happen that the wall is going to fall. And if it does fall, it's unlikely. But if it does, okay, you'll deal with it.
Now there's a bandage
over
the nezek.
Okay.
The question is, if it bothers you or not. Right?
There's no nezek in either one.
No,
meaning?
No, in the case of a gefek, there is a nezek. But in the meantime, I'm concerned about that nezek. Maybe I won't put something there. I won't put a piece over there. Here, there's no damage.
Because the wall's already up. Okay. So that was how Rav Yehuda. So let me just say it again. So according to Rav Yehuda, you were saying what? You were saying that, look, the wall, the damage. Say it again. Yeah. All right, the wall is up. So it's already been, I see what you're saying. Say the first parak, it's already been taken care of. So since the walls are up, it's already been taken care of. Even when the wall falls, we'll deal with then Yoshifti Baris. When it comes to the Gefet, nothing, the damage hasn't been prevented yet. You've already put the Gefet down. So there's damage. There's potential damage happening. But I don't think that, but the Rush is saying, his concern is Shemi Tatzel Milas Alkam. I see what you're saying. Since the damage is there, it's just not damaging anything because I haven't put anything here. It's not causing any real damage to me because I haven't put anything here. And therefore, we're concerned. But in Perek Aleph, okay, very good. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, so that's I was thinking more along the lines of that, meaning that with a Hezek Re'iyah, he has what to, with Hezek Re'iyah, he has what to lose. If the wall falls down, he also doesn't want the Hezek Re'iyah on him, neither of us want the Hezek Re'iyah, so he's probably more motivated to get that wall back up. Yes, Shoftim Ba'aretz, so he probably won't be lazy. When it comes to the Gefet, he is sitting pretty on his property with his Gefet. He has little motivation to make it work, except for the fact that I'm banging on his door saying, you got to move your Gefet, which I guess is similar to what Rav Yehuda is saying, is that...
What is the concept of
Yeshua Timbas? So that still is a question for your answer also, meaning it sounds like... Okay. Yeshua Timbas, when there's damage, when the damage comes, take you to bait. I'll take you to bait, and it's fine. Okay, could be. Okay. Very good. Okay, either way, I don't know if this is necessarily kashur, because there's a lot of discussion about what is Hezek Re'iyah, is it real Nezek or different Nezek? But I just, when I saw this, the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah in the first parak, I just couldn't help but think of the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah in the second parak, and thought maybe we could sort of throw them together a little bit and sort of come up with an understanding. Do they think that there's a concern of damage happening right now? Or are they ever concerned about what's going to happen in the future? Or are they only concerned about what happens here and now? And as long as here and now is taken care of, it's not a problem. Moving on from that little piece about Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush, source number 9. The question is, la halacha bein Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah. How do we paskin? So Beit Yosef, source number 9. Fargatavti b'samoch divrei Rivash. Od lachlok al divrei Rosh. So the Rivash, we're going to see him as he's quoted later on, but the Rivash rejects the opinion of the Rush. The Rivash is in agreement with Rabbeinu Yonah. Fargatavti b'samoch shegam Rabbeinu Yonah v'kam gedolim cholkin al Rosh. He says, look, the Rivash successfully refutes the Rosh. So many other Rishonim and Achronim, he says, everyone seems to be in agreement with the Rabbeinu Yonah, so we can't follow the Rosh, and the Rosh has been, you know, refuted b'tuv tam v'da'at by the Rivash, so he has no concern following the Rosh. I'm going to go with Rabbeinu Yonah, he says. Source number 10, this is in the Shulchan Aruch itself. He just also says, source number 10, v'chen da'at arayvin, v'lo yiskim arivash. So Rivash doesn't agree with the Rive, doesn't agree with the Rosh. V'chen, v'katav sheken da'at harbeh me'achronim. V'chen da'at Rabbeinu Yonah v'aramban v'achin aktinan. Says, we're not going to go with the Rosh. We're going with Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the way harbeh me'achronim go. Achronim for him is the Rishonim. And that's the way Rabbeinu Yonah goes. We're not going to say like the Rosh. We're going to say that if you don't mocha in 3 years, you get a chazaka. So all those cases that the Rosh had said and the Rabbeinu Yonah were talking about, if you open a window into the churba, so we'll say you can get a chazaka. The Rosh said no chazaka because there's no potential for a macha, and the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, is ruling in favor of Rabbeinu Yonah, saying there's a chazaka unless you are mocha. You have to be mocha, even if there's no damage happening right now. We would have to be mocha because otherwise the chazaka would happen. Or presumably, then you can prevent the gap from being put down. You can prevent him from opening a window because you don't want him to end up getting the chazaka against you. The Shulchan Aruch adds an additional opinion that we haven't seen yet. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but he's a hybrid type of thing. Who says, the Ramban agrees, he doesn't have a chazaka because there's no hezek right now. The way the Sma, say for source number 11, explains this, is perish. The Ramban says, you do have the right to be mocha, even though the hezek has not happened right now. Even though I could have been mocha, if I wasn't mocha, that doesn't mean that you have a chazaka against me. So the Ramban is sort of saying, on the one hand, you could be mocha, like the Rabbi, as Rabbi Yonah would say. On the other hand, if you weren't mocha, it's not the end of the world. For Rabbi Yonah, if you weren't mocha, that's it. You lost it. The guy's got a chazaka. You weren't mocha for 3 years. But according to the Ramban, you could always say, the reason I wasn't mocha was not because I was okay with it, simply because lo ratiti limchot bo kol zman she'eino, I only wanted to complain once it caused damage to me. It wasn't causing damage to me, so I wasn't going to say anything. So the Ramban here is this third opinion here about the relationship between macha and chazaka. That's the Ramban. So yes.
Why would you? Because you're worried that later on, maybe you'll forget. Well, it has to afterwards that he's facing it this time. Maybe he.
I think it probably makes it the fact that he's. I think that's why the Ramban is saying. You're saying what's? I think that's why the Ramban says that's why the chazaka doesn't exist, because there's no reason to be mocha yet. So why be mocha in the first place? Why bother being mocha? There's still going to be something that's going to. So the question is, according to the Ramban, if I don't need to be mocha, why would I ever be mocha? That's essentially the question. If I don't need to be. You're saying why, if he's not going to ever get a chazaka anyway, so why would I ever be mocha beforehand? Yeah, I still think, yeah, I think the reasons, the concerns still before that you're going to be, this at least starts the process earlier, because now I can get it in the books, so I don't have, once I finally start to build the wall, then you're going to have to take it a beit din, it's going to all thing, it's going to take time. So if I'm mocha right now, at least I would think you would say you start the process earlier. I don't know, is that what Rav Yehuda, were you? Yeah. Yeah, but the fact that you weren't mocha, that doesn't automatically mean that you're okay with it, the Ramban says. You might not have been mocha because you figured, like you're thinking, I'll deal with it later. When there's damage, I'll bring it up. And since that's a legitimate claim for someone to say, there's no damage right now, so I'll deal with it later. So then that's a legitimate thing. And you can't get it. He can't claim he has a chazaka because you didn't say anything. Because I didn't say anything because I have a reason I didn't say anything. Right. So in source number 12, the ketzot, is going to sort of explain these positions of the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, and that things are not as simple as they look, as far as when you're looking in the Gemaras and some of the Rishonim, what exactly, whether which one is which is right. We haven't really looked at any of their proofs for this, and what proof the Rosh brings, what proof Rabbeinu Yonah brings, but the Ketzos is going to sort of give us a little bit of that. So that's source number 12. It's a long, he quotes a lot of Gemaras, and I'll give the best I can with context, but I also footnoted here the quotes that he has just to help give you some sense of what's happening there if you don't want to flip it open yourself. So here's the ketos. So he starts by pointing out that the Shulchan Aruch did quote the position of the Rosh, which is that there's no chazaka. And I give you a footnote number one. I give you the whole scenario that the question is. The specifics of the scenario aren't even as important, just to know that it's a case of had potentially hezek re'ia, wasn't moche. So now, does the guy have a chazaka on the window or not? He has the window, but it was looking into something that didn't really matter at the time. So does he have a chazaka? Like the case that we're dealing with. Why wasn't he? You weren't mocha. I was mocha because it didn't matter to me right then. The guy says, no, but I have a chazaka. And that's the argument back and forth. So source number 12. So that's the Rivash, Siman Taf Ayin Aleph, Zelishno. Majgenav Arosh, Zal, Shabbatech Chalon al Gag Shereifim, Ein Baal al Gag Yechol Lakev, Kivan She'en Amaziko, Behezik Ria, Lachen Kshevo, Livno Kenegdo, Ein Tzirich Larchik, She'en Lachalon Zeh Chazaka, Kivan She'en Yechol Limchot. So the Rivash quotes the Rosh, and the Rosh had said what we said before, which is that if my neighbor has a window looking onto my property, and at that time, that's no, there's no damage happening against me because it's looking onto my property, into my, like, I don't know, my house, but my house is covered with the ceiling, so it's with a roof, so it's not causing any damage. The Russian said that window can never get the chazaka because I could not say a word for 10 years, 20 years. That guy will never have a chazaka on that window because the reason I never said anything was because it wasn't causing any damage. This is, I didn't say anything because it wasn't causing me any damage at the time. You can't get a chazaka for my lack of macha because there's no net. That's the Rosh's opinion, that the only time that you get a chazaka is if I was receiving damage and chose not to be mocha. But in this scenario, I'm not receiving any damage. So since I'm not receiving any damage, I wasn't mocha. And since I wasn't mocha, you don't get a chazaka. That's the scenario, and that's what the Rosh had said. And if we can skip a little bit in the middle, there's skipping to the last, Umimela, five lines down. Umimela, Kevan she'en yochol limchot en lo chazaka, right? That was the Rosh. V'wasa min ha-mesubav, siba, min ha-siba mesubav. I think what he means here is that the Rosh has flipped it. He's taken what's around and put it in the middle, and taken what's in the middle and put it around. He's got the order flipped. She'arei l'fiyan nirem yelashon ha-gemara, ha-yasod va-siba hi ha-chazaka. If you look at the Gemara, the whole idea is chazaka. Umidin chazaka yatzel lanu im yecholim chodim lav. And from the concept of chazaka, that's where the idea of macha comes from. You start with chazaka, and then macha comes from that. Lidvarav avim enu yechol leakvo milipotcho lama enlo chazaka shalosheneim hare hayalim chopesov kol shalosh veshalosh shlo yachzik alav leinyan shimivo livno kenegdo lo yitzrech larchik. וכיוון שלא מיכה, יש לנו למר שיש לו חזקה, וגם שיש לו חזקה, חזר הדין שיוכל לעכב, דמצי אמר, מחזקת עליי, ולא מצינה אטרח למחות בסוף כל שלוש ושלוש. He says, look, really, you start with a chazaka. As soon as he opens that window, he's got a potential for a chazaka, and that's what generates my ability to be mocha and say, I don't like this here. And in theory, we could say, every 3 years, I have to register a protest to block your chazak from happening. But we can say, we don't want to be matriachim so much. Where is the... We don't want to force this guy to have to register a macha every 3 years. So that's why he's allowed to prevent the window from opening in the first place, because he would have a chazakah. The Rosh has flipped everything around. The Rosh seems... You only get chazaka if there's mechah. He says, no, that's the whole point of mechah, is to prevent chazaka. So it starts with chazaka, and then to prevent chazaka, you have to be mocha. The Rush is flipping it around. The Rush had said, the only time you get a chazaka is if I could have been mocha. And the Rivash says, that's just not true. You look at the Gemaras, that's just not true. And the Ketzor is going to go through some of these ideas. It says, Vehina, this is the second paragraph. Vehina, mashkinav Rivash ala Rosh, yasamina sova siba v'chuli. There's a case in Chazkat Abatim, Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Bet, Mele Rav Asher of Kahana, Vila Piriachte, Mai Havalei V'Meivad. There's a whole scenario. How this actually comes about is not as important as what happens, but I get you to come do work in my field, and you're in my field, in my orchard, and you're collecting fruit, and you're picking fruit. You're doing this for several years. You've got several years that you're in my field, you're eating fruit. The question is, what's to prevent you from claiming after 4 years that you're not just a worker in my field? What's to prevent you from claiming this is, you bought this field from me, and that's why you're in the field eating my fruit, right? How could I ever bring you into my field to do work for me if you could just end up with a chazaka after 3 years? So the Gemara there says, what could you do to prevent the worker in my field, the person in my field, from getting a chazaka on my field, from claiming I bought the land from him and that's why I'm in the field? So Omer le ibay le limchuye, you would have to be mocha. You know, this person has every right to be in the field right now. He is, for whatever reasons, he has the rights to be in this field, to eat the fruit in my field. And yet, even though he has every right to be in my field and he's not causing any damage, since after 3 years, he could claim that this was his land, that he purchased this land, that I sold him my land. Since that could happen, I have to be mocha right now in order to prevent that from happening. Which looks like, even though no hezek, no damage is happening right now, there is still potential for chazaka. In order to prevent your chazaka, I have to be mocha in the middle. And so that's why the Ketzot looks at this Gemara and says, Lichora nira ken mipera chazkarabat. The Rivash seems correct based on this Gemara, because this Gemara tells me that there's a chazaka. Even if there's no hezek happening right now, there's a chazaka. Chazaka happens first. In order to prevent the chazaka, I need to be mocha. Amnam, in the paragraph after that, lechar ha'iyun, nirin divrei harosh. But when I really thought about it, looked into this, I actually think the Rosh is onto something. Devadai, kol sheyesh l'reshut l'ftoach chalon, leka torah chazaka klal. Says that really, if there's no damage happening at the time, there's no chazaka that could happen, there's no requirement of macha. And there's proof from Chazkat Abatim, another Gemara in Chazkat Abatim. So back and forth, the question of a man has the right to eat the fruits in his wife's field. It's a takana chazal, that the man has the rights to her fruit. And the Gemara is very clear. It's explicit. There is never any titznan mishnah ein leish chazak benichse ishto. The man, he can eat his wife's fruits in her field. He can go in there every day for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. He will never have a chazaka. Never have a chazaka. She doesn't have to be mocha in any way. She doesn't have to say, "By the I didn't." He can't claim, "Oh, this is my field. I bought it." She never has to be mocha. And from there, so he says in after that footnote number three of Hachinani, Kivan to eat lay reshut b'ptich chalon havalei kamo hachabal. You're never going to get a chazaka. You can do it right now, but since there's no damage happening right now, you don't have to be mocha. He can eat the fruit. She never has to be mocha. He's never going to have a chazaka. So presumably, you could open your window into my churba. I can't say anything, but it doesn't mean you have a chazaka on that window. It's just okay right now. Yeah, fine. Oh. So the Ketzot already starts to give a direction towards the answer. And he explains in the top of page 4, by Ensham Perish Rashbam, so the Rashbam there, explaining that Gemara, makes a distinction between these two cases. Why is it that with the woman and her husband, she never has to be mocha? But with you working in my field, I do have to be mocha. This is what so you're having to the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "Da kol yodim de lepiri nachid kivan de id lepiri." Everyone knows that that's why he's there. V'lo dami l'mashkona t'tzarich l'michuyei shirad l'perek yeich d'lo l'chzik. Hatam shema yidei orech zman yishkach ha'davar shirad b'torad mashkona b'shimach t'tzarich l'michuyei. Everyone knows why he's in her field, because he has the rights. Halachic, Takanat Chazali has the rights to her food. But with the guy who's working in my field for whatever reason, okay, maybe everyone knows right now why he's in the field. But after 5-10 years, people might forget. They don't know exactly what the reason is. So that's precisely what the Rashbam lays out. That's the distinction between the two. And we're going to come back to that idea also. In the next paragraph, next two paragraphs, Job points out this stira that we just identified in the Gemara Bava Batra is not just the Gemara Bava Batra, it also is the Ramban. He says, "V'chidushei Ramban perikamid Bava Batra daf zayin." There's a certain scenario where the brothers don't have a claim of a chazaka on one or another about their chalon. They don't have the rights to control what the other person does with their window. Rashi explained that Gemara as being, I can't control what you do with your window. We can't control each other's windows, assuming that there's no chazaka. No one has a chazaka. But if someone has a chazaka, then the person with the chazaka has wins, and they win. But to Mahani, the Ramban says, I don't understand. How is there a chazaka here? He says, look, Ramban here is saying, how did this chazaka happen? The chazaka happened because I should have said something and I didn't say something, so you get a chazaka. Even though there was nothing for me to really be mocha, I should have made a statement nonetheless. So the Ramban says, look, Moraki is a very vash. He's going like the Rivash. He's saying, he's talking about a chazaka existing because I didn't say anything. But the Ramban elsewhere, near it, disfira like it's out of Rosh. But the Ramban also says something that looks like the Rosh. Why doesn't he have a chazaka? I don't have to be concerned about there potentially being a chazaka against me. Ramban, elsewhere in his own chidushim, the Ramban says, there will never be a chazaka. Oh, are you concerned about there being a chazaka? No. And he says, why isn't there be a chazaka? Because she'eino yachol limchot, ein lo chazaka. So again, we see in the Divrei HaRamban, on the one hand, the way the Ramban explains Rashi, he's going directly like the Rivash, that there is a potential for a chazaka. But the Ramban, in his Chidushim and Daf Yudchet, is clearly going like the Rash. So it says, imken, tzarich lomar, dahata katav gabei chalonot, lefika chayinu aliva de Rashi. So you could say that Ramban didn't actually believe what he said when he said, like, the Rivash. The Ramban was just like, he was just saying, I'll leave it to Rashi. But the Ramban never agreed with that. And maybe the Ikar, he agrees with the Rash. There is no Chazaka. And then he continues, we're going to go back to the point that we just said about what's known. Amnam. Nira devadai hecha diadua milta devadai deid le reshut bekach eno tzarich macha klau. The Ketos says, at the end of the day, when do you need a chazaka, when do you need macha or not? It all has to do with what other people will know. Everyone knows the reason that the guy is in his wife's field is because he has rights to it, to eat the fruit, but not because he owns the field. No macha is necessary. He's never going to get a chazaka because everyone knows why he's there. And he gives more examples of begag sereifim. The case where I put up my window looking up onto your property. So the reason the window is allowed to stay there. In the case of me looking into your window, the whole reason that that window is allowed to be there is because the guy on the ground can't prevent me from doing that because it's not impacting him in any way. And everyone knows that that's the halacha. Everyone knows this idea that the window is allowed to be there right now. And that's there, not because of his mocha, but because it's not causing any damage right now. But if it's not clear, if I could make the argument and claim, the reason I'm in your field is because you sold me the field, and I'm eating the fruits, not because it's a mashkon, not because I have the rights to do it apialacha, but because you sold me the field. In that case, the Ketos is saying you've got to be mocha because it's not immediately apparent. This is just like an agreement that you and I made about you being able to eat my fruits. It's not immediately apparent, and therefore, I have to be mocha. And if not, eino ne'eman lamar leperet harativ kivan de'eino yadua. This is not a known fact why he's there. People don't know, so that therefore I have to be mocha, because if I'm not mocha, no one's going to know why he's there, and we're going to assume it's got to be because there's a chazaka. But if it's a case where it's not going to cause any damage, everyone knows why it's there, then no mocha is necessary. There's no chazaka that's ever going to be. So that's the way the Ketzos sort of understands the position of the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush. Is that there are certain circumstances, and they have Gemaras that are backing them up that seem to be contradictory. Same, there are certain circumstances where the Macha is the Chazakah will automatically happen, and the Macha is to prevent it. And there are other certain scenarios where the Chazakah can never happen. No matter how much time, there was no Macha that I could have done, there's the Macha that I needed to do, and there's going to be no Chazakah at all. And that's what we'll talk about for this piece. Just to put a cap on this series of sugyas, the end of the Gemara. So we saw the Gefet and the Zevel and the Melech. It was all a question, if you remember, we started. There's a whole question, do I have to be marchik from the border if you don't have anything there? And the Gemara gives 1, 2, 3, 4, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, gives three potential challenges. It says, marchikin at the Gefet, but the Zevel, but the Melech, but the Sivet, Slaimi, Koch, Lo, Shel, Chavero, Gimel, Tzvachim, Ta'amadik, Kota, Lik, Koto, Somech. That first line, Aleph, the Gemara learns out from that Mishnah that I can only have the distance from the Kotel. If there's no Kotel, I can go right up to the border. And then it gives an answer, oh, because this is difficult for a wall. And then Bet, it gives another thing, another Mishnah, Marchid Zraim, Bet Macharisha, Bet Meiraglaim, Mina Kotel Shatachim. Tamadik Kotel, like Kotel Samich. Yes, you should be able to put it right up there. Why does it single out wall? So again, so the Gemara says, "Hakamash Mulan, Dimatuna Kash the Kota." No, that's bad for the wall. Tashma Avirichaim Gimel Mina Shachav Shen Dal Mina Rechav Tamadika Kota like a Kota. So again, but maybe this. So you have to distance the milson or whatever from the wall. If there's a wall, you can be so much. No, the Tiria Kash the Kota. No, that's also bad for walls. Tashma, but you have to move the oven from the wall. Oh, if there's a wall, there's no wall. You can put it right up there. The Gemara says, "No, Hakamash Mulan to Hevla Kash the Kota." It's repetitive. It brings the Mishnah four different times. It says Kotel, and it thinks every time it says Kotel, it means Kotel Davka, but if there's no Kotel, you don't have the distance. And then it gives the same answer. Ah, the reason it's there is because this is particularly bad for a wall, but you have to distance it even if there's no wall. So the Rashba, source number 13, says this is very repetitive. We can skip. So beginning of Tamiyali. So it looks like this Gemara, all these Gemaras are brought to challenge Rava. Because Abaye would say you always have to distance. But the Rava is saying you only have to distance if there's a kotel. I'm sorry, Rava says you always have to distance, and this looks like you only have to distance if there's a kotel. So these all look like they're challenges on Rava. The ad Rava, le Abaye kasha tfei. It's really a bigger question against Abaye. So let it just be taught only one time. Why is this so repetitive? So he says, maybe you would think that it's you would think all these types of damage are all different from one another. You wouldn't be able to necessarily extrapolate from one case to the other. You wouldn't necessarily know how bad each of these are for the kotels. That's why. So you'd say, we have to say all of them to indicate that it's a problem for all of these. These are all damages to a kotel. It's a problem for all of these. You'd have to be distant from all of them. And that's sort of how the Rashba puts a capstone on these three, or these four challenges against Rabba. The bottom line, and I think Rabbi Turchiner said this, but just because we'd have to mentioned anyway, Lalacha, we do go with Rava according to the second Lashon of the Gemara, and that's how we task in the Halacha, and that's this sugya. Any questions before we wrap it up? Okay, thank you everyone for coming and learning. I'm available after if you want to still go through some of this more as well. Thank you everyone for coming and learning. Okay.